Matthew 5, verses 13 through 15. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and its light to all who are in the house." May God continue to bless the hearers and the doers of his word. Amen.
Is beyond the as a blue, a God concealed from human sight. He tinted the skies with heavenly hue and framed the world with his great mind. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God who sun upon a tree, alive was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God createth man. He is our God, the great I am.
Whether you are visiting with us this morning or a member of this Franklin family or our virtual guests, I'm grateful that you are here today, grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that would be the saints of God. Now, Charlotte, I'm going to open my Bible to Matthew chapter 5, and my invitation is for you to join me there as we look at the verses for today's lesson, Salt and Light, Salt and Light. The Sermon on the Mount defines and shapes the character and the nature of the children of God. That mountain message in Matthew chapter 5 is a statement that gives us the opportunity to be who God has called us to be. These statements comprise one of the greatest sermons of all time, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And they have become to be known by us as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are the moral and spiritual compass of those who belong to God. It's the moral and spiritual compass of those whose focus is aligned with heaven. Because the Beatitudes declare that those who belong to the Lord will travel in a different direction than those that live in this world. And as you absorb and embrace each one of these beatitudes, what you're going to witness is that there's a gulf that's formed between the citizens of this world and the citizens of the kingdom of God. And you find that gulf widening each time you read one of those beatitudes. It widens and widens. It separates us from those that are in the world. And with each one of those beatitudes that Jesus speaks, Jesus declares that what is shunned and looked down by the world is elevated by the kingdom of God. We're going to read in your hearing today Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to join me there. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are impoverished or bankrupt of spirit," he says. "Blessed are those who come before God and are able to acknowledge their spiritual poverty because they realize they have nothing to offer to God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That is, those who mourn and grieve over their sins, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So mourn over your sins because you have offended the very heart of the holy God. And they mourn, for they have offended Jehovah. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are willing to just slide over. Those who are willing to surrender and allow the Lord to take control of their lives. Blessed are those who are willing to slide over and with a heart of humility become receptive and obedient to the will of God and to his will in their lives, to his word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's only those who hunger and thirst after God's own right way, not their own way. If you thirst and hunger after God's own right way, the Bible says you will be filled. The psalmist has said in Psalm 34 and verse number 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see, hunger and thirst for the Lord. Taste and see and be filled with his goodness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who are willing to offer what God has offered to us. Blessed are those who are willing to offer what God has offered to us without partiality, without bias, without using our own judgmental nature to dismiss them because we feel like we've got to find something in them that we don't like. Blessed are those who are merciful. Because you cannot obtain mercy from God unless you're willing to offer mercy to others. James 2:13, James says, "For judgment is without mercy." God says, I'm going to judge you without mercy if you have shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Blessed are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are genuine and sincere, for they're going to see God. Blessed are those who keep it real. Blessed are those who are real and not making a mockery of their faith in God. Blessed are those who come to God with no mixed motives whatsoever. They come to God with all they have and with all they are. And they're so real. And what you see is what you get. Their hearts are pure and dedicated to the mission of God. Blessed are the pure in heart. They are going to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who approach a conversation or a circumstance and they make it better. Blessed are those who are not merely gauging temperatures and looking to throw some shade or put their own two cents in. Blessed are those who are not merely stirring the pot, but are people who can create they can just create the calm and with godly wisdom make things better. They are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The reward, oftentimes, Jesus said, that reward oftentimes in this world for those who are willing to go against the grain. The reward for those who are willing to swim upstream. The reward for those who walk in a different way. It's a way that the world doesn't understand and may even punish you for it. It's a walk in a way that they never even appreciate. But you just keep walking. Jesus said that reward for you is great in heaven. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, because your reward is great in heaven. In these words, in these Beatitudes, Jesus speaks to how citizens will live in and respond to a world that is traveling in the opposite direction from the children of God. And when he completes those, he then speaks to what we ought to be. It's not a task or what we ought to do, it's but what we ought to be. Jesus speaks next to what we ought to be. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, they are most often referred to as the similitudes. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let it shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let it shine. Salt and light. Salt of the earth and light of the world is what we are called to be. See, the Lord here, as was his custom, he once again uses two of the most common and basic illustrations known to man, salt and light. Illustrations that everybody can understand. We'd find him saying, for example, do you see that farm over there on that hill? Do you see him? Do you see him reaching into a bag and taking some seed and distributing that seed upon the earth? That's the word of God. And that's the way the word of God is like. And it's also your job to just sow the seed also, just like the farmer. Some will produce fruit, some of it won't. But your job is to sow the seed and leave the rest. Some of us want to sow, reap. He said, you see that farmer over there? He's reaching to his bag and he's distributing the word of God. That's what your job is to do. You just sow it and leave the rest up to God. He would ask a question. He said, did you ever know someone who had a child? And when he got to be a certain age, he got what my parents called to a point where he was smelling himself. He got so full of himself that he didn't think he needed his parents anymore. And he found himself coming back because things didn't work out at all like he thought. Jesus says that's the way things are going to be sometimes. They're going to be like that. It doesn't always make sense. It's going to be like that sometimes. But what you do is understand that you can always come home to God. Whenever you come back to your senses, you can always, no matter where you go, God is there. No matter how far you run, God is there. No matter how many covenants you break with God, you can always, when you come back to your senses, you can always come home to God. And in this passage, in Matthew 5, he just uses salt and light as the basics. Because you see, every home in Palestine would have salt, and every home in Palestine would have a lamp, something basic and practical that we can understand. It was his way of saying that as citizens of the kingdom, we're not to live behind these high walls or make pretense for ourselves. He's saying that we are not to be well protected and isolated from other people. As citizens of God's kingdom, we are to dwell among those that are opposite from us, to influence those of whom we are to be a bit different. Listen, we are to be different from those people in the world. Jesus says if you're going to change the world, start where you are. You have to begin with you and what goes on in your house, because if you can't light the light in your house, you can't light mine. Amen? He says, begin in your own house. You begin with yourself, begin with your own heart, and let the light of God shine in your life. And if it shines in your life, you'll be able to reflect the light of God into somebody else's life. Start in your own house. And he uses these pronouns, and I want you to understand, they are personal pronouns. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say that you need to be. He doesn't say that you ought to be. He doesn't even say that you have the potential to be. He just says that as a Christian, this is who you are, the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and that's who you ought to be. And that role, I want you to understand, it's special. That role wasn't given to just anyone else. It was given to you. It was given to you. It was given to me. So let your light. That's all Jesus is saying. And look, I'm giving you something special. I'm giving you an opportunity to shine and preserve. I'm giving you something special. So you be salt and you be light. Do what you're called to do. Do my will, not your own will. Stop spoiling things. Stop casting a shadow on things that need not have a shadow. You just be salt. And you just be light, because Jesus says, that's what I've called you to do. So do it. And you'll find as you read this lesson context that it moves from a people who are blessed to a people who are to be a blessing. Don't you think about that for a second? He starts out in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, and he talks about people that are blessed. And then he moves from verse number 13 through 16 and says that we are to be a people that what? We ought to be a blessing to somebody. Are we too busy trying to curse them out? It might be another lesson. Just be a blessing, because that includes me and includes you as well. I want you to understand that it's a statement of spiritual value that God puts on here. How important is it to be the light of the world? Just how important is it to be a light for God? Just ask someone who's lost their sight how valuable light is. They'll tell you. Ask them what it means to them to have had that sight and then lose it. What about salt? Ask someone who has contracted the coronavirus about the absence of taste. Don't you lose your taste, most people? Don't you just lose that? You just lose it. And even when you have your taste, some people, they yearn to have salt on their tongue. They want it. What does it mean to no longer experience salt? Salt's got a lot of qualities to it. It does a lot of things. Salt is a preservative. Salt is an antiseptic, right? Salt is a spice. It is a chemical. It is an irritant. That's why we say stop rubbing salt in the wound. We're not called to rub salt in anybody's. Salt and light. It's so simple and yet so profound. So what can we glean today from this illustration that the Lord has presented in Matthew chapter 5 to us? Here's the first thing I want to tell you about that. You can't give what you don't have. Let me say that again. You nor I, we cannot give what we don't have. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let your light so shine that you can't give anything that you don't have. Let it shine so you can give light. If there was ever a time in our lives that we don't illuminate, or a time when we don't preserve or enhance the flavor of the world as best we can, maybe it's because we don't have those elements in us. Maybe the salt and the light are not in us at all, so we can't preserve and we can't illuminate. James chapter 1, James says that this man's religion is in vain. Why? It's not that he doesn't have the religion. It's not that he doesn't have the salt or the light or his intention is to get it. It's because his religion is so vain and empty that there's nothing inside of him to make it real. It's got to be in you for it to come out. You can't give what you don't have. This man's religion was vain and empty because he didn't have it in him. What about your salt and your light? Do you have it in you? 1 Peter 2:9 through 12. Listen to God. But you, is that personal pronoun again? But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's own special people. Let that sink in for a minute. Oh, you are God's own special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, he says, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that they may speak against you as evildoers, that they may be by your good works, which they observe, first of all, glorify God in the day of visitation. What you're saying to me, Peter? What you're saying right here to the Jews of dispersion? Peter is saying, I want you to understand that the world is dark. Oh, it's dark. And you are light. I need you to understand that that's what God has called you to be. Understand that the world is dying and you are to preserve it. He's calling you to be salt. We are here to make a difference and to honor God that he might have the glory. And Peter says, so when they look at you, when the world looks at you, he says in verse 12, make sure they see it in you. Make sure they see the salt and the light. And if they see it, he says they're going to glorify God. I mean, think about it. People know who you are. They know when you're sincere. People know when you bow your head at a meal and you're praying to God. People know when you don't engage in blue conversations at the workplace. Does that song you're listening to, does it glorify God? Does that message on your t-shirt, does it honor God? Does that movie you're looking at right now, does it honor God? Does the website that you're looking at, that porn, does it honor God? The TikTok, the Instagram, that text message you just sent that you wish you can get back, does that email that you just sent, does it honor God? Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Just as you receive from us, you are to, number one, walk with God. That's what he says. That's what you ought to do. You ought to walk with God. And secondly, he says, you ought to please God. Does that t-shirt, does it say it? Let's forget about the t-shirt or the TikTok or the movie or anything else. Let's forget about that. What about you? Does your life honor God? Does your walk honor God? Does your speech, is it pleasing to God? Because when you speak, you ought to be praying to God every waking moment. He says, pray without ceasing. So speak to God continually, and it ought to honor him. What is that he's saying? What you saying to me, Paul? It's being salt and light. That's what it is. It's living in such a way as to plead God and have an impact on others as well. And not just when somebody's watching you, but everywhere you go all the time. Why? Because you, listen to that personal pronoun, because you and you and I, we are salt and light. Always salt and light. And when the salt loses its flavor, men are going to trample under you. So you be salt. And don't let anybody put your light out. You be light for God. Let me tell you something. You see, if you got salt in you, it'll make a difference. Salt will make a difference in your thoughts. Salt will preserve and make sure that your heart doesn't decay in sin. Or to preserve your heart to God, it'll make sure that your bones don't decay in sin. And light, if it's in you, will make a difference also. Because what it'll do, it'll illuminate your understanding and your approach to life. It'll illuminate your walk with God in this dark world so you're not groping around in the darkness. It'll give you spiritual stability so that you don't stumble and fall all the time. Some people are always stumbling. Stop stumbling. Because if you keep stumbling, eventually you are going to. You with me? Let's stop stumbling. Let's walk in the light where Jesus is. Let's stop groping in the darkness, because if you're not walking in the light, you're stumbling. You're not salt and you're not light. You're not preserving, you're not illuminating. Light it up. We are God's children. Let's light it up. Turn it up. Turn it out. Let's be for God what he has called us to be, salt and light. Salt and light. Stop stumbling. Remember, you can't give. Amen. You can't give what you don't have. So what you're going to have to do is spend a little more time making sure that what's in you is salt and light. Spend time making sure that so when people approach you, you can help preserve their lives. So when they approach you, you can light them up. Here's the second thing I want you to understand about this. Make a difference where you need it most. Let me tell you how easy it is for me. It's easy for me to be salt and light in this building. I don't know about you. I ain't talking about nobody. It's easy for me to be salt and light in this building. It's easy to do it right here. Salt and light, though, it requires two things. The elements of salt and light need to be different from what they are part of. Let me say that again to you. I need you to get this. Salt and light need to be different from what they are part of. Salt has to be different from whatever it is that you are sprinkling it on. Anybody ever take salt and sprinkle it on salt? It's got to be different. And of course, light is different than darkness. So that means, secondly, that salt and light have to penetrate the environment that they're in to make a difference. We've got to penetrate the environment of a person's heart that they might see God. Gotta be different. The light shines brightest when it's darkest outside. I remember growing up, I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. It was called pitch black. We don't see that too much anymore because we've got ambient light everywhere. Light on your microwaves. Amen. They got lights everywhere. You close your curtains, there's light from the streets coming in. When Jesus says that we are the light of the world, the connotation is that we live, listen to me, we live in a very dark world. And I need you to understand that. The world is not trying to be kind to us, not trying to accept us. We live in a very, very dark and evil world, church. Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, 14 through 15, you do all things without complaining and disputing. Don't complain and dispute, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, listen to this, here it is, among who you shine as lights in the world. Isn't that incredible? Or you just be the lights among all those that are complaining. Be the light among all those that are disputing. You become blameless and harmless. You be the light for God in this world. Can you do it? John 3, 19 through 20. Listen to John. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. You ready for the next one? And men love darkness rather than light. Oh, isn't that a true statement? Oh, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light unless his deeds become exposed. Remember that one? What's done in the dark comes to the light. What we need to hurry up and understand, church, is that this world is a dark place. We need to hurry up and understand that this world is a dark place. And we don't have to go far for reminders of that fact. We've got broken laws. We've got broken homes. We've got broken hearts. We've got broken vows. We've got broken faith in our God. And Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. So the world needs to see marriages that are thriving. The world needs to see friendships that last. The world needs to see promises that are kept. The world needs to see that grace and forgiveness are more than just words. And the world needs to see servant hearts, living servant lives to each other and to our God. The world needs to see the incarnation of Jesus in you. Need to see Jesus, the light of the world, in you. The world needs to see Jesus in you so that they can glorify God. Light it up. Let it shine. Let them see it. The kids used to sing that song, and you know I can't sing, so I won't sing it to you. But just don't hide it under a bushel, right? Don't let Satan put it out, right? Light it up. Light it up for God. The world needs to see Jesus in you. So where you live, light it up. Where you recreate, light it up. Where you educate, light it up. Where you play, let Jesus shine in your life. Where you work, light it up. Where you shop, you light it up and you preserve a soul for God. Nobody that's in your family is a Christian? That's all right. You influence them and you illuminate them. You light them up with God's word. And don't worry about anything else. Be like that farmer. You just spread it out there. God's going to do the rest. There's too many people who are afraid to reach into the bag and spread the seed of God's word because their family might get mad with them. Let me tell you something. I'd much rather you be mad at me over here than to see you in hell dying because you didn't listen to God's word. Light it up. Remember, number three, you are called to influence people and not to overwhelm them. I want you to get this one. You're called to influence people and not overwhelm them. We're not called here to knock people over the head with our Bibles. Listen, you notice when salt is missing. And you also notice when there's too much salt. You can ruin a whole meal. Oh, you know I like some. Oh, look. Whatever it is your favorite food is, just let them put too much salt in and see how you feel about that. That's fighting words there. That's a fight. You can ruin a meal by putting too much salt on it. It's just not palatable. We notice also when light is missing. But we also know when a spotlight is directly in your eyes, it's blinding. So what are you saying to me, Brother Collins? I'm saying it is our purpose not to win debates. It's not our purpose to win debates. It's not our purpose to win arguments. It's not our purpose to showcase our knowledge or put somebody in their place. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to influence others and lead them to the Lord. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He always began with where a person was. He was light and he was salt, so much that when people entered his environment, they had to change. He made a difference, and he started right where they were. You remember in John 8, a mob came to Jesus. He was drawing a line in the sand, the Bible says. And the mob came to him with a woman. And you know what he did? He set those accusers free because he met them right where they were with their hands full of rocks. And he set them free because when he looked around, the rocks were there, but the people were gone. And then he set free the heart of a woman caught in adultery. Oh, he set her free. He took his time with those people. He made them think. He gave answers and offered a better way. He spoke to them clearly and logically. And then he said, go and sin no more. I have set you free. He helped people understand where they were. And he did it without overwhelming them. He could have beat them over the head with scripture. He was God. He could have said, you know what? You coming to me. You caught in adultery. Why are you coming to me? You're good as dead, but he didn't do that. He could have told those people, you are just angry as can be. You are hateful. You got those rocks in your hands? Go ahead on and throw them. He didn't do that. But there are too many of us who want to judge and throw rocks and hide our hands after we throw them. Jesus will meet you where you are. Drop those rocks. So just like Jesus, you and I, we influence and we illuminate for good, for the good of others. So the question becomes, how can we live in such a way that we can penetrate this world and illuminate our world to make a difference for good? How can we do that? Here's the first thing we can do. We can be spiritual. We can be a spiritual people. We lean too much on the flesh. Sure we do. We can be a spiritual people that's being purposeful in our intent to God about righteous living in his presence. This isn't anything that's a mystery. Just be spiritual. And do it in the presence of all men and in the presence of God. Number two, we can be biblical. Refer to the Bible for your answers. Stand on what God says. A tough world needs tough answers from the Word of God. And don't back away from it. Don't be ashamed to say what we believe and what we know the Bible teaches. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation to everyone who believes, from the Jew first, even to the Greek. Don't be ashamed of it. You know what else we can do to influence and eliminate? We can be encouraging. Oh, we can be. There's so many people in this congregation that you just might not know. They are just like Barnabas. They're so encouraging. And it does my heart good all the time. The world is a discouraging place. And we, and me, and you, ought to be people with something good to say. Let me say that again. The world is discouraging, and we ought to be a people of God with something good to say. The old adage still stands, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. But sometimes silence speaks volumes as well, amen? Amen. So if you're going to speak as the oracles of God. Light it up. Be salt, be light, preserve their lives. Have something good to say. James 3, 16 through 18, James says these words. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there also. But the wisdom that is from God is first pure, is peaceable, gentle, is willing to yield, is full of mercy and good fruits, is without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who are peacemakers. Blessed are the... So you be spiritual. So you be biblical. So you be salt and light because God has called you to do so. John 8, 12. Here it is. I'm going to end with this. John 8, 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light. Yes. Amen. Amen. You remember that one? Amen. I'm the light of the world. And whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You can have that. That's a true statement. And for those who are walking in darkness, here's your invitation right now to follow Jesus. Here's your invitation. You know where you are. You know who you are. Here's your invitation to follow Jesus. Here's your invitation to allow us to sprinkle a little bit of salt on you and to shed a little light on that evil that's in your life. You got to listen to God's word. You got to hear it. You got to hear God's word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the true and living God. 1 John 3:23, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Believe in love. Believe in love. We've got to repent of our sins. Jesus said it's not the whole who need a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Will you hear him? Will you repent? We've got to confess. Got to confess. There are too many people who don't want to, they don't want to come clean. He says in 1 John 1:8-9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Come clean. Confess your sins. Our God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come clean. Just come clean. And when you come clean with your words, he'll clean you up in the water, in baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have put on Christ. You can't put him on without baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You be salt. And you be light. And if you're going to stand this morning and accept the invitation of God, it will be a wonderful thing. And when you come out of that water grave of baptism, you become salt and light. And what I want you to understand, and even in young people who've gone away to college, or they just got married, or they're starting their career, I want young people to understand one thing about God and serving him is that I don't want your life to become a checklist. There are too many people that live their religious lives as checklists. Don't let your life become a checklist. Be responsible to God and do those things that he has called you to do, because you are salt and light in this evil and dark world. If we can help you this morning, why don't you come? We stand and sing God's invitation song. Tenderly, Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Will you respond?
Calling for you and
calling for
me.
You and for me. Will you come to God this morning?
See on the portals.
He's waiting and watching. Will you come?
Waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me.
Will you come home this morning? Will there be one to respond
come
to God's
home,
invitation?
Come home. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. He choose a lowly bird because he loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so.
At this time, we come to a portion of our service, communion. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, 30. In this passage, not only does Paul give us scriptures to use during communion, but he gives us instructions and more insight as to what communion means. For I receive from the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Examine yourselves. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eat and drink in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Please bow your heads with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we take up your cup and your bread that represents your body, we ask for forgiveness of our sins of this week and the things that sometimes bog our minds down. Help us, Lord, to resist all the schemes of Satan, Lord, and denounce him and give you praise, Lord, and let us be salt and light of this world. Amen. Now we come to a portion of our service concerning collections. Giving is a facet of a large subject called stewardship. According to James 1:17, God owns everything because he is the creator, maker, and giver of all things. So when we give, we merely giving back a portion of what belongs to God anyway. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make grace abound toward you, that you always having sufficient in all things may have abundant for every good work. At the end of service, there's a box in front, and you may come and deposit your collections.
Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. Praises to him I sing, onward I go. Closely